There was an idea to bring together a duo of recyclable people to see if we could become something more, so that when we needed to, we could create the podcast that we otherwise never could. No one asked for it, no one knew they needed it, but now you have it. Black Culture Geeks.
Welcome everyone to the Black Culture Geeks podcast. This is my man SPJ.
You.
And I am Tombstone the Dead Man, and we are just a couple of geeks talking about pop culture from a black perspective.
Facts.
Facts indeed. So we're continuing our in-game analysis.
Yeah, this is the last in-game episode, ladies and gentlemen. I know some of our fans aren't really into the comic book movie thing, and that's perfectly fine. It's not for you. That's cool. No issues. However, we're going to let this last bullet out the chamber.
We love this shit.
Yeah, so this is, matter of fact, this makes three episodes in a row.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're going to let this last bullet out the chamber. And this is pretty much basically the remainder of our thoughts about the movie.
Yeah, this thing was too big to not do that. Like, yo, it's too big. This is too big.
Yeah, this is absolutely nothing. All right, so surprises.
Surprises indeed.
I can honestly say that even not to the extent of like this could not have happened, but the execution combined with the choices that they made, there were quite a few surprises in this for me. Like I felt.
What was the biggest surprise? That something that you didn't see coming before the movie came out?
I would have to say that the biggest surprise for me, not in terms of how unexpected it was, but the combination of it being unexpected and how it affected me, was the battle, the big battle. Like not the whole thing, not the whole thing, I guess. I would say everything from when they walked up to Thanos.
When they pulled up on him.
Yeah. Because that first part of it was in the trailers. So everything after that, after where the trailer ends, to the point where Doctor Strange opens all the portals.
Right.
That section of the movie was like, oh my God.
Yeah. I think for me, the biggest surprise was Black Widow dying. I didn't know that they were going to go there with her, considering she's got the movie coming out. You know what I'm saying? The prequel movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured she was going to still, I always figured that because Quad is kept. Nat is like a really important member of the team. It's not just like she just, I know, you know, she's very important to the team. So I didn't think that was going to happen. Also, I'm going to tell you a couple of things. And this is what comes with the speculation before the movie comes out. Mm-hmm. Everybody speculates about these movies.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that at some point, the Hulk, I knew the Hulk was going to have a big moment, but it didn't, and he did. But a couple of them, but it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. I thought we was going to get, at some point, Worldbreaker was going to, and I thought he was going to have a big moment with Thanos.
Yes.
And the fact that he didn't even like combat that man.
No.
In the entire movie, as far as physical one-on-one. He didn't do that at all. That surprised me.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to do that.
Yeah.
Also, something about that, we'll get to that a little bit later, about fan service. I heard some shit about that from people. And I'm like, this clearly wasn't a fan service moment because I heard a lot of y'all wanted to see the rematch.
Right.
So, you know.
No, that's a fact.
That was a definite surprise to me. But I knew one either Cap or Iron Man. But I thought it was going to be Cap.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Cap.
Honestly, I thought it was going to be Cap.
Yeah,
I didn't expect Tony to die.
No.
Die. I didn't go in and thinking he was going to die.
You know what I'm saying? No, not at all. But there are a lot of little surprises. The fact that they went 5 years into the future.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming at all. There was nothing.
Did you see them coming back early in the movie and killing
Thanos? No.
Not at all.
No, you could not have convinced me that was going to happen. The time travel, and this is the thing that I like about it. All of the predictable elements of the movie, they found a way to do something with them.
Yeah.
Everybody and their mother knew that time travel would be involved.
Right.
But it didn't happen the way that we thought it would happen.
Thought was going to happen. Exactly.
Right. So,
exactly.
Like, that was amazing. The whole Black Widow thing, that was a shock to me as well. But it's one of those things that, in hindsight, we should have expected because throughout the movie, she's being built up. She's the leader now. Built up. And then it's decided that her and Hawkeye are going to Volmir. And I'm like, because I had this spoiled for me, when I found out that they were going to vote, because I didn't know how she died.
Right.
I just knew that she died.
Yeah, because of some bastard. Because of some way.
Some douche nugget.
We will find you. And we have a certain special set of skills for your bullshit.
So I knew that she died. I just didn't know how. So once I found out that her and Hawkeye were going, I figured that when they made the teams of who was going to be together, I figured that it would be her and Hawkeye together.
Anybody going to get the Soul Stone, because we had previous knowledge.
Yeah,
how you get it. Somebody was going to die. You know, there's no way.
The only way around that is finding out that the Red Skull was lying, and
right.
And that probably the only way that they could have pulled that off is if somehow Cap went to Volmir.
Facts.
Actually, I think that may have worked. Like, I'm not pretending. Like, I'm not going to pretend to put this all together right here because I just thought of this in my mind. But I think one way to make that work is if Cap would have went to Volmir and encountered Red Skull, because then you would have thought, oh shit, Cap's about to die, because
you're
getting the Soul Stone requires a sacrifice.
That's a fact.
And
that's
then if they subverted that somehow and Red Skull was lying and all that other bullshit. But anyway.
or what if Cap broke the rules and he used Red Skull? So
facts.
I know they say you gotta be somebody you love. You love to hate him.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Hey, I mean, that would have worked for me too. I think it was a lot of little surprises. And not even, like I said, some of them aren't that true.
I had a real dark thought about that.
What?
What if Peggy was a sacrifice? And that's why when Falcon asked him, "Do I tell him about the first person?" Like, no, I don't think I will.
Oh my goodness, you're so stupid. You are so dumb. You are so dumb. But anyway, like I said, there were a bunch of little surprises, some that were just completely out of left field, some that we should have expected, but somehow we were thrown off the scent or whatever the case may be. So I like that type of movie where it's like that, like especially for a movie that is a part of an established series, because too often in those type of movies, you get exactly what you think you want.
Right.
And this movie gave a shit that we didn't know we wanted. It gave a shit that we wanted but didn't think they would do.
Right.
So I like that approach. I like that approach.
Facts.
All right. Facts. So speaking of fan service, let me say, this is what I feel. This is how I feel. Okay. And if you've been listening to us for a while, or you have seen any of my other endeavors, you will know that I'm a words guy. I care about words, but what I've come to accept is that people regardless of the fact of whether it's right or wrong, people will have their own definitions for what words mean.
Yes.
And they will stick to that shit.
Right.
So to me, to me, fan service just means something that's done in service of the fans.
Yeah.
And I think that there is negative fan service and there is positive fan service.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like positive fan service is stuff like little Easter eggs that
right.
have no bearing on the plot at all. I think another piece of positive fan service is a story or character arc paying off. That right. is positive fan service.
Right.
Negative fan service is shit that you just throw inside of a story because you want to evoke an emotion for the fans and have has no bearing on the plot, doesn't consider the story or shit like that. That's bad fan service. So I don't know if I'm unbiased enough to be credible saying that I don't think that there was any negative fan service in this movie,
mm-hmm.
but that's how I feel. I don't feel like there was any negative fan service in this movie.
Yeah, I'm with you with that. My thing is, I really believe this is a really stupid argument. and mostly I think it's a stupid argument because one could argue that all of these movies are fan service, period.
Facts.
One could make this argument because here's the thing. I've been a fan of comic books for years. You've mm-hmm. been a fan of comic books for years.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even think we was going to get
no.
a shared universe. You know what I'm saying?
Never.
With continuity and all.
Forget the shared universe. That. There are some characters that I never thought I would see in the
that
film
you would ever
at
see
all.
In the films at all. So again, right, the idea that it's axiomatic that fan service is a bad thing, so you try to use that as a way of discrediting shit bullshit.
No, that's crazy. Listen, yeah.
Cap picking up that hammer is absolutely fan service.
Yeah.
And it's warranted.
In the
it's
best
warranted.
Way. The
In
best
the best
way possible.
Why would you complain about that? I think that's just, it's really dumb. It's really dumb. The fans wanted to see it, so you're going to give them something they don't want to see.
Yeah, that's the y'all hate that argument. The argument doesn't make sense. At the end of the day, the end game, if you will, is to make a profit.
Right.
Is to have people come back and watch your other movies.
Right.
So yes, you give people what they want.
You give them what they at the end of the day. Because this is my other issue about the contradiction and the complaints.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that's why I was talking about the Hulk thing. So you complain when you didn't get Worldbreaker or you didn't get him the rematch
mm-hmm.
with Thanos. You complain about that, but wouldn't that have been fan service?
It would have.
Right. So
for Hulk fans, a rematch would have been 100% fan service.
Right.
Now, how they handled it would have determined if it was good or bad fan service,
exactly.
but it would have been 100% fan service.
That's why I can't really take that particular argument all that seriously, because it's like, it's only bad fan service if it's something you didn't want to see.
Ow!
It didn't make sense.
Perfect example. Wanda's fight with Thanos is fan service.
Facts.
Because, Facts. But it's great fan service because it fits the narrative completely.
Right. Right.
It fits the narrative completely. From the juxtaposition of their interactions in Infinity War, where she's like unsure about her power and if I can do this, and not understanding what she did when she was destroying
right.
an Infinity gem with one hand and holding
right.
back Thanos with
right.
the other gems with the other. She didn't understand the level of that. She didn't understand the
right.
breadth of that. And his reactions to her, like calling her his child and
this is why I find that to be kind of ridiculous. Y'all act like there was no... Okay, so let's take the logical line of reasoning with
mm-hmm.
this, right?
Mm-hmm.
He sent his people to chase her, to chase him.
Yeah.
He eventually gets there. They've been harassing Vision the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
They basically get there. He finally arrives, and he's coming there to kill So now she's in a fuck up situation because she can't let him get the gem.
Right.
Because if he gets the gem, they lost. And at the same time, in order for him to stop him from getting the gem, she has to kill the person she loves.
Mm-hmm.
And he put her in this situation. And she's desperate as fuck. You can see the look on her face. She's desperate as fuck. She finally made the decision. She's going to do the right thing, or what she perceived to be the right thing. And she thought she had won. And this motherfucker turns time back.
Yep.
Snatches the shit, cracks Vision's head like a goddamn egg
mm-hmm.
in front of her. So she has to watch him die
twice.
Yeah. Twice. Yo. So then when she comes back from being dusted, yo, you don't think, first of all, to them, hardly any time has passed.
Yeah.
So the emotion's still running high.
It literally just happened.
It literally just happened for her.
And then the whole, you took everything from me. I don't even know who you are.
You are.
What?
You will, motherfucker.
My you will. God, dude. No,
that, how does any of that not make logical sense?
It's perfect.
She saw him on the battlefield after the shit he put her through.
Mm-hmm.
That she wouldn't react like that. And she wouldn't be given 100% of her mm-hmm. all. Which if we're talking about Scarlet Witch, 100% of her all in the comic books meant no more mutants.
Yeah, pretty much.
By just saying it. No more mutants. Yeah. Right? So like, I don't understand people who, you know.
He was going to die.
She was washing him, yo.
Hey, period. Make it rain. But the troops. Basically, Thanos said, I said what I said.
Just do that shit, nigga.
Help
you heard me.
Nigga. That's basically what Thanos said. Corvus Glaive, old logical ass. Like, but the troops. Fuck them troops.
Fuck them niggas.
I'm dying.
Look, did you see that meme, yo?
Which one?
It's a meme where it says Thanos to
Corvus.
Corvus, right? Make the rain down fire or whatever. And he was like, but the troops. And then the picture part of the meme is, remember all the pictures, the promotional pictures they had?
Yeah.
With the Avenged the Fallen and all that shit?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, motherfucker made one with Thanos' picture right there. They had fuck them niggas on there. And the niggas part on the A, it was the Avengers.
Yo, that's so funny. Yo. Yes.
Hilarious,
yes, but yes, that is a great example of good fan service.
Right.
Because any fans of Scarlet Witch wanted that moment. Now, of course, you know, she didn't end up killing them, but whatever. That wasn't the point.
In complete sense, right.
Yeah, that wasn't the point. She got, like, even though he didn't die right then, she got her revenge.
And actually, like I said, he was going to, yo.
Yeah, he would have been not. He would have
literally
been
stripping. She was literally stripping off Uru armor off of him. Mind you, the same Uru that broke the fuck out of a Captain America's shield.
Yeah.
She's stripping this off of him and breaking it apart with her. Come on, dog.
Yeah,
he's bro. Gone.
He didn't have a chance. He had no chance. No one could have saved him except for the Black Aster.
Yeah. Yeah, yo, he had to go for the Hail Mary play. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Scorch the earth.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. All right, so. What? All right, so let's do durability rankings real quick.
Okay.
I mean, maybe not real quick. Whatever. It'll be what it'll be.
Right.
Are we going to do just the original six, or are we going to do...
Let's start with the six.
Okay.
No. Fuck that. I think we really need to examine this from a top-down approach.
So not power. Just strictly just durability.
Durability.
Durability number one. After as far as right now is concerned in MCU, so after the events of Endgame,
right.
Number one is Captain Marvel.
Facts.
Just has to be. She Yoda, tanked.
Do we need to justify this?
Because well, she tanked the headbutt from Thanos.
Not only did she which was crazy. Not only did she tank the headbutt from Grimace, but she was literally absorbing and resisting the Infinity War with her ability to absorb energy and redirect it and shit. Come on, she's top tier,
bro.
She flew through. She flew through the Black Aster
with no problem.
It was made of cardboard. Now, while
like that shit was made of hot butter.
Like, while I do think Thor could have did the same thing because in Infinity War, we saw him do that with one of the ships that was trying to take off.
Yeah.
He literally just went through it.
It would have been more taxing for him.
Right? She did it like it was nothing. Like,
yeah, bro.
It was a egg carton.
Matter of fact, it was impressive. Now, I know we're not talking about power, but just to say, her power was so great such that the Black Aster decided that she was the bigger threat.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And got low in the first movie. Got low. Like, in the first movie, like, oh, you know what? We out.
So, all right. So, durability, Captain Marvel is number one. Number two is the Hulk. It just is what it is. There is a precedent that they have established. And it has come back to prove itself over and over and over and over again.
Well, I think the thing that did, if there was any question, the thing that did it was him being able to use the Infinity Gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, even though he was damaged afterwards, and mind you, this is not even the most powerful version of the Hulk.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is Professor Hulk. He's not even the most powerful one.
Right.
He still managed to tank it. He didn't die.
Yeah. Now,
before then, the argument, of course, is going to be made about Thor because he tanked a star, the full brunt of a star.
Yes, he did.
But what I will say to people, and you know, I'm a Thor fan, so if I'm saying this to you, then you got to kind of, it's not a bias thing.
Right.
That man was not in shape, yo. And listen, but that shit means something, yo.
That means a lot.
That means something. What I'll say is,
are we saying... I can't buy the idea that a star, even the full force of a star,
right,
is equal to the power of the Infinity Gems.
No, I don't believe that.
Yeah, I can't buy that. So like it's a feat that nobody below the top three probably would have been able to handle.
Exactly.
Maybe Hela,
if she was still alive,
yeah,
she might have been able to do it. I'm pretty sure Ego would have been able to do it.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Even Odin in his prime.
Yeah, Odin would have been able to do it. But it's a short list.
It's a short list, you know? Like, it's not. It's a short list.
Yeah.
And mind you, Tony died doing it, and he had his new armor
almost immediately.
On.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He died almost immediately. Armor. And for anybody listening, this list is just the Avengers. It's not, it's not characters. It's just the Avengers. Right. So number three is Thor.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
There's no way.
Even Fat Boy Thor is more durable than everybody else under that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely no way around it. Number three is Thor. He is still a literal god. Fat or not, it doesn't matter. His muscles are formed with metal.
What kind of metal was that?
Real shit. Like the argument when they were going to snap the gauntlet of Thor, I'm strongest Avenger. That's a valid argument. It's just that Hulk is a little bit more durable.
Yep.
Just Facts. A little bit more durable. It's just, it just is what it is. And that's funny. We didn't talk about this, but that's a callback to the scene in Ragnarok when they were trying to get the spaceship started. Thor was like, strongest Avenger. And it just would not work. And Ben and Hulk comes up and strongest Avenger.
He's like
better.
What?
So Thor's number three. Here's where it gets a little difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, because we're just talking about durability.
That's all.
I kind of want to say that not necessarily who number four is, but I'm having a problem separating Cap in Black Panther.
Yeah.
Because of Black Panther's suit.
Yeah, yo. So and here's the thing. That suit.
And the real shit, the heart-shaped herb is probably similar to Super Soldier Serum.
Oh, absolutely. Yo, he outran. Look, that suit ain't got nothing to do with him outrunning Cap. Like, yo, he outran Cap not
facts.
Once.
Facts.
Twice.
Right.
That's so, all the heart-shaped herb right there.
That's the issue I'm having. I think we could put one of them at number four, honestly. But I just have.
Titanium suit, yo.
Yeah, like, yo. I have an issue separating them. I think I'm gonna have to go with Black Panther.
Yeah, because look, yo, the thing is that suit,
and it redirects ability. It redirects energy as well.
Yo, when he remember in the Black Panther movie when he literally ripped off the car door.
Yeah,
that had nothing to do with the suit. That's him. that's him. He ripped the car door off. Like, get this shit the fuck
out. Here's the thing for anybody that's, you know, that might be listening that isn't used to talking about power scaling and stuff like that. We're not talking about power. We're talking about durability. No. But the issue is, in order to have a certain amount of power, you have to have a certain amount of durability.
Your muscles have to be able to handle the pull.
Exactly.
Lifting shit. Yeah.
Exactly. So, all right. So, we go Captain Marvel, Hulk, Thor, Black Panther, Captain America.
Yeah, but Cap's an old man now, so.
Oh, shit.
Cap's right. Old, so he out of the equation.
I forgot about that. He out of there.
So you know who it comes down to now?
Who?
Rhodey and Winter Soldier. Which one of them?
Shit.
That armor that he had. And he did have a Patriot. Now, I knew that was the Iron Patriot.
Yeah,
though,
yeah, yeah.
Because I saw a video and they showed a better picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
They got on... And on Iron Patriot and shit.
And, I don't know if this was explicitly answered, or maybe I missed it. Mm-hmm. Is Rhodey a cyborg now? Like...
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Yo. So, yeah, I think... But then again, Winter Soldier's kind of a cyborg, too.
Winter Soldier is brolic, yo.
Shit.
He's definitely Cap level.
Hold on. Wait. We are tripping. Level. No, we are wrong. We are so wrong. Yo, number four is Drax.
Drax not an Avenger, though.
Yeah, so. But I count him. Like,
So if we're counting...
Just the heroes.
Just the heroes. Then, yo, Nebula is a hero now.
I think that
she's got bionics and shit.
That's a fact too. So, all right. So Captain Marvel, Hulk, Thor, same.
Yeah.
Number four would have to be. Would it be Nebula or Drax?
I think it would be Drax. So, I think Drax is just physically.
Yeah.
I think because Drax is just under Ronan. He's just under Ronan. And we saw Ronan did some feats over there.
Facts.
Before, you know what I'm saying? Before he got, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is what it is. All right, so, Drax would be number four then. Then Nebula.
Yeah. Absolutely. Then Groot.
Forgot about that powerhouse. Mm-hmm. But hold up. Is Teen Groot?
No, Teen Groot is not as powerful as Grown Up Groot. Definitely not. But I did, mind you, I saw this thing
mm-hmm.
in Infinity War impale like six riders.
That's a fact.
Lift that shit up in the air like it was nothing.
That's a fact. That is a fact. All right. So
also part of the durability. He cut his own damn arm off.
He cut his arm off. Yes, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Like, you're right. All right. So Groot comes after Nebula.
Yep.
And then I think then we can go to Black Panther.
Yeah. Hold up. I want to say that vibranium suit trumps Nebula's. I really do want to say that.
But here's the thing. Nebula has literally been ripped apart time and time and time again.
Facts.
And somehow... Not only is she still kicking, but she has not been driven insane.
But here's the question too.
Mm-hmm.
Can you pull Black Panther apart in that vibranium suit?
That is a good. That is a good question.
Like,
that's a good question.
Her surviving that and all of that is definitely some durable shit. But if you can't even,
if you can't even get to that point,
you can't even all right, shit off.
Okay, all right.
Without Uru, you literally need Uru.
Shit. No, you're right. I mean, God damn it, man.
Yeah, it's not as easy.
It's
as
a little more difficult than Let's rock with it the way it is right now.
Okay.
Only because we still have, and this is the thing. This is why I did specifically durability, because we still have heavy hitters left.
Yes, we do.
They're just not as durable as the people that we've mentioned.
Right.
Like,
right.
Scarlet Witch may have a case for being the second strongest.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But durability.
You saw what she did to Thanos.
Yeah.
You saw what she did. Come on. But durability, no. A bullet will take her down.
Yeah.
A bullet will take her down.
Yeah. If she is caught off guard, you could shoot her and she would die.
Yeah. She would die, yo.
Yeah. Same thing with
Spider-Man. Spider-Man got to be involved in the summer.
Oh,
too,
shit.
Yo. Because he does have extra. He has an extra layer of durability because of his powers. How strong he is.
That's a fact.
He's a powerhouse. He's a powerhouse. 30 tons,
yeah,
yo.
Hold up. Yo. So we did. All right. So last episode, ladies and gentlemen, we did complaints. One of the complaints was about Spider-Man killing. Here's the thing. He's still not killing because Spider-Man pulls his punches. The other thing, one of these videos I watched, they try to use it to help their argument, but I think it hurts their argument, is that Spider-Man doesn't really punch in the MCU.
Nope.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, because the nigga can crush bricks in his palm. If he punch you, he's going to punch your head off. If he goes full on, I lift 30 tons, nigga. If he does that, he's going to turn your head to powder.
Facts.
He's basically going to
do what he did to Kingpin.
Yeah, oh, man. That was an embarrassment.
Because that's hard to do to Kingpin.
Yeah.
But he just, ugh.
Kingpin is strong for a regular baseline human.
Yeah.
Spidey benches 30 tons.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my nigga, but 30 tons? Somebody that can lift 30 tons and he punches you?
That begs the question, why did he ever really want to fight? Like, I understand, because Kingpin isn't stupid. I understand being the nemesis thing. I get that.
Right.
I understand being against him. I understand wanting to do battle with him. But why would he ever want to fight?
Yeah, for real.
Is that just arrogance?
Yeah, because he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to
fight. Because you know he's stronger than you.
Yeah.
You know he's exponentially stronger than you.
Yeah.
Now your durability is next level, but that don't matter when he start wailing on your ass.
He start wailing.
Like,
if your durability does not surpass his punching power.
No.
He goes, it's the same as with, all right, take Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give a fuck that you Hulk level strength and even Hulk level durability. Superman gonna get through that. He's gonna lump you up just like Hulk is gonna lump Superman up. He's gonna get past the point of your level of durability. Nah, you gonna be on lump.
Because
he's that strong, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's that strong, yo. So,
all right. So, where the hell does Spider-Man go? Because
I would honestly see, this is the thing. Spider-Man's still a kid here. He's not as strong. He's not even as strong as he's going to be.
No, he's not.
Because proportionately, if he's the strength, proportional strength of a spider, in human form,
he's going to get bigger.
He's going to get bigger. His strength is going. It's going to be that nigga going to at least be at the 50 ton mark at a certain point.
Thanks.
Like,
so I think we can leave him next.
Yeah,
because a bullet could still kill him.
It could,
but it's a less chance than Scarlet Witch.
He has a healing factor,
right?
Too.
Yeah. So the bullet has a less chance than hitting Scarlet Witch.
Of course. Oh, Scarlet's dead.
Yeah, Scarlet Witch is dead. Spider-Man could possibly win that fight.
Right.
All right, so Spidey's up next. And then I don't know. Cause all right, so I think that instead of trying to rank everybody else, I would say that there's a group of people whose durability is probably just like at the peak of human possibility. Like,
Like
Wanda's at the lower end of that. Mm-hmm. Strange, if you catch him off guard, is probably at the higher end of that.
Yeah, but that's magic too.
Rocket would probably be at the lower end of that.
Yeah.
Although
Rocket will beat your motherfucking ass.
Oh, you don't want to fight him.
Yeah. We saw this in Guardians too.
Yeah. You don't want to fight him. Howard the Duck is definitely at the lower end of that.
Low end. I'm eating him.
Let me see. Wait, did we ever actually add Rhodey?
No.
All right, so Rhodey would be after Spider-Man. Or before.
No, he'd be before Spider-Man.
Yeah, before.
Because bullets ain't doing shit to him.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even going to get through the armor. So.
Right. So, who else is left? We did Strange. I mean, if you want to do, like, Okoye and Shuri and Wong. They're all at the low end.
Although, I think that the armor Okoye wears.
That would help her out.
With vibranium.
Yes, so. That would be helpful. Same with Shuri. Shuri has some type of
Shuri,
armor.
Right.
Yeah, that, right. So they would probably be. Okoye and Shuri would probably be in the middle end of that.
Yeah.
Let me see. Who else is left? Mantis would probably be at the middle end.
Yeah.
Because she's not human.
Yeah, I think she's probably a bit more durable than the average human.
Yeah. let me see. We did Groot. We did Rocket.
Gamora's pretty durable. Yo.
Yes, Gamora would be at the high end definitely of that.
Yeah, she's pretty durable.
Actually, Gamora might be above that. She might be above the peak of human.
She's got bionics. First of all, we don't know the physical limits.
No, we don't.
Of her species.
Just the fact of how high she could jump says something to her durability.
Yeah, yo, it says something, yo. And also, remember in Guardians 1, when Nebula hit her with the electric shit or whatever?
Yeah.
She ate that shit.
She tanked that.
Came back and won with no damage afterwards.
Yeah. Star-Lord
is strong as fuck, too, because she picked up that big-ass, like, when the ship broke up and destroyed.
Yo, that shit was crazy.
She picked that big, dumb-ass gun up and handled the recoil of it.
Right.
Come on, yo, like, no.
While walking forward.
While walking forward and yelling. No.
Yeah.
Nah, yo. Gamora.
So she's definitely in the... the bottom of the higher range.
Yeah, yo, she's superhuman, yo. What
yeah.
Fuck all that?
Like, Star-Lord is the question, because I argue that durability is inherent and you don't have to be aware.
You don't have to be aware of durability.
But specifically time, with Star-Lord,
he
doesn't have
Thanos.
His powers when he's not aware of them.
Exactly. So he got smacked around. Thanos smacked him around. And that would tell me that typically he's under Thanos. Typically.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we do know that. I will say this. He did really well in that fight in Infinity War against the Avengers.
He did.
That was there, yo.
He did much better than I expected.
I expect him to get washed.
Yeah.
I expect him to get washed, though. But again, that's fighting ability and experience, not necessarily durability.
Yes, that is true. Knowing how his weapons work.
Exactly. Tech and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I would put Star-Lord at the top half.
Let me give you one durability feat of his, though, to put out there. Just, I don't know how we can measure that. But
oh, shit. Holding on to the Power Stone.
Holding on to the Power
himself.
Stone. By himself. Also, when Gamora was out in space dying.
Yep.
He goes out there.
That's a fact.
His face freezes up. Skin starts to crack. All of that. They get him back on the ship. He recovers.
Yeah. And Ebony Maw didn't last that long.
Nope. Nope. I'm just saying.
So actually, he's probably at the lower end of the higher.
He's probably at the lower end of the higher because of who his father is.
Yeah, that's a fact. Let me see. Is that everybody? I think we got.
I think that's everybody.
We did Strange.
We didn't do Wong. Korg and none of them. But
yeah, but that's different.
That's different.
Yeah. There's really not much of a way to gauge that.
Right.
Korg is made of rocks. Yeah. So I think he's.
Oh. But according to him, perishable rock.
That's a fact.
It's perishable.
So. That's a fact. But I think he would be considered at the top of the low.
Yeah, because in the comic books, Korg basic durability and strength level is basic Hulk.
Yeah.
They said because according to what the Strange and them was saying, Hulk returned to Earth with a crew that are all Hulk's more powerful than ever, and he returned to Earth with beings that are at least as strong as he was previously.
Okay, yeah.
So that's crazy when you think about it.
Hell but yeah.
They never really displayed Korg in that way. Like, yeah, he's big and he's made of rock, so you're going to expect a certain level of durability from him, but they never showed, like in the comic books, they show Korg with strength feats.
Right.
He don't have no strength feats in the MCU.
No, because he's comic relief. Like, right. He's completely comic relief.
And Meek is almost completely different.
Yeah,
in MCU than he is in the comics. So yeah.
Yeah. Meek is a non-factor in this conversation.
Yeah, he's not even.
They thought he was dead. So I mean,
right.
And it was reasonable for Korg. Like,
well, we didn't talk about either, dude. Maybe she doesn't count as much either because of her infrequency of being used. Valkyrie.
Yeah.
She's at least basic human. Asgardian, yo.
Yeah,
basic Asgardian.
So she's lower. She's probably like lowest level of the high.
She's probably Spider-Man level, and at least in the comic books, strength wise, the basic Asgardian lists about 30 tons. The basic woman Asgardian lists about 30. The basic male about 50.
Word.
So if we're making the juxtaposition as far as their basic stuff from the comic books with that,
yeah,
she has to be at least young Spider-Man strength. She did rip like ships up
with her sword, yo.
What, you know what I'm saying?
With a sword, now, with one arm.
Yeah, I mean
that does. Yeah, that's yeah. No, you're right. You're right. So she's at the low of the top.
She's at the low of the top. Yeah.
All right. So that's Valkyrie. I think that's everybody. We covered all the Asgardians. Mm-hmm. We covered the sorcerers. We covered the Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. We covered the Avengers.
Yep.
I mean, if you want to count Pepper,
Pepper's adorable as the rescue suit. So.
Yeah, exactly. Which is probably relatively durable, but it's just that.
Lower than Tony's recent mark, whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't even imagine we see her that often. Moving forward,
We're gonna see her. Maybe we'll see her name.
Yeah,
maybe in Spider-Man. Whatever.
Yeah. Speaking of that, let's just do that. Let's do the speculation of the future.
All right. Think about the future.
So, Black Widow's film is going to be a prequel. Did they announce that before the movie came out? Okay. So we've known that before the movie came out. That's going to be interesting. But the thing about it is it will likely introduce some character, at least one, that will play some type of role in the future. On. Yeah.
Unless she kills him.
Right? That's the crazy thing. But I mean, it could end up being a good person too. Like it could be another Black Widow. Yeah,
absolutely.
It could be stuff like that. I mentioned this to you. We could potentially get a young Avengers team.
Yep.
We have Spider-Man, we have Shuri. We have Cassie Lang.
We also have Spectrum.
She's
there and she's grown at this point.
Yep.
So
So I mean there's no guarantee that she ends up being a superhero, but she's there. She's around.
I personally don't believe Marvel is going to give up on the chance of having a superpowered black woman.
Yeah. Why waste that?
They're not going to waste that.
We've also heard Kevin Feige talk about Kamala Khan a lot. So
I'm not interested in, but I understand the need.
So yeah, Ms. Marvel will be in the MCU at some point.
I hate her powers, but go ahead.
I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. Also, Morgan.
Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there's no guarantee, but I'm not giving Tony Stark a progeny and, right. and not having them be a and superhero at some point.
Exactly.
At some point, yeah. I would, yeah. And there's no indication that she won't. I mean, there's no indication that she actually will. Like, there's nothing saying that she's going to pick up the mantle
or anything like that.
But it would be great if at some point in the future, like years from now, like even if it's 6-7 years, it depends on if they do another time jump or not. If they do another time jump, it could be 5 years from now where you see rescue and then she hits the ground and takes the helmet off and it's Morgan.
Right.
Instead of Pepper. That's
it's
a possible.
Be a few years for that.
It's gonna be a while for that. Yeah, she was five. At the most, she was five.
Yeah.
So
it'll be a little while.
That's that thing. What do you think about Far From Home now after watching? Because the Russos said that Far From Home starts minutes after.
Yep.
Endgame.
Yep. Okay, so we know how they play with time and time jumps and yes. shit like that. So it could be just a very simple matter of them starting the movie off, addressing that, and then they do a little time jump. Could be 6 months, could be a year. We like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be that big of a obstacle to get over. If it starts seconds after it, yeah, I can imagine him having the scenes with his aunt.
Yo,
reacquainted with his friends and shit like that also with Snap. And, you know, then they get, because remember, at some point, they go overseas. I don't think they're going to drag that first act part out of him getting, you know, whatever. Because they got to get them readjusted back into school mm-hmm. and then going on a field trip.
And they have to introduce Mysterio.
I don't think they're going to bog down the first act with that. I think they're going to acknowledge it. They're going to give service to it. And then they're going to move on. And then I think they're going to do with this the same way they did with Endgame. The reason Endgame didn't have after credit scene is because a lot of the after credit shit they put in the movie.
Yeah.
For instance, when Okoye was talking to Black Widow about the earthquake under the ocean, there is no reason to have this random shit there,
right?
Unless that's Namor. They're gonna use this later for Namor, yo.
And that, I'm hearing that Namor probably will debut in Black Panther 2.
Yeah. And, you know, Black Panther Namor has a storied history.
Yeah.
Those of you that don't know, like, these two hate each other. They have fought wars against each other.
Right.
Like, Namor is a really important part of Black Panther's lore. So, ordinarily, in a regular Marvel movie, something like that would have been put at the end of the credits. And we'd have been like, underwater? Earthquake?
Right.
That's Namor. Oh, that's Atlantis all day. Because in the Marvel Universe and in the Prime Universe, Atlantis is off the coast, under the water, off the coast of Wakanda.
Mm-hmm.
So we ain't even going to act like that's not what that was.
Right.
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 So I think, I think after that movie, it's going to establish a lot of things in that movie. One, we're going to find out the status of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh,
the final status,
right, because Nick Fury is in it, and they did reshoots with Samuel L. Jackson.
Exactly. And Sam ain't just first of all, you can see from some of the clips, Spider-Man has a different suit.
Yeah.
And he has that stealth suit. Now mm-hmm. that could be the suit that he always had, and it's just a function on it that makes it change color.
That's possible.
Do whatever. It's entirely possible. But the point is, Nick Fury ain't just roaming the planet, picking up missions with no funding, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right,
no
right.
No equipment, no backup, none of that shit. Nah, Nick didn't put together S.H.I.E.L.D. again, yo. Nick's put together S.H.I.E.L.D.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Somehow, yo.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why I think we're going to learn a lot of things about the nature of the world after the snap and after all these events, and we're going to find out about, you know, they're going to make some, they're going to establish some new things going forward that we're going to see in the other movies coming up. And it's going to start with Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah, because for anybody that doesn't know, Far From Home, Endgame is not the end of Phase 3. I mean, Phase 4.
The end of Phase 4 is Spider-Man
Far From Home. So that's...
That's epilogue shit.
They have specifically said that the reason they didn't put any end credit scenes in Endgame is because they wanted people to deal with that.
Right.
Without worrying about what's coming up next. I'm pretty sure that trend will start back up with Spider-Man Far From Home. So so whatever does happen in the movie that's going to show us what might come, there's still, I think, going to be even more little teaser or whatnot at the end. What would be interesting is if they found, if they reached some type of deal, and I'm 90% this isn't the case because we haven't heard about it, but if they reached some type of deal with Sony where, like, they got yes.
Yeah.
I think that would be interesting because...
I really see no reason for Sony to say no. If anything, this is an opportunity, Sony, to make some
more money. Because honestly, I still haven't seen Venom the movie. I still haven't watched it. But Venom is one of my favorite characters.
Right.
And... I really want to see Morbius.
Me too.
With these characters.
Facts.
Like, they're working on a Morbius movie, but I want to see Morbius with these characters.
Right.
So, it is what it is. I don't know how they're going to handle all that. But anyway, they have not officially announced the movies that are coming up after Spider-Man. We know that Black Widow was in production.
Right. I think during Comic-Con.
Yeah.
At some point, you know, during one of these Comic-Con conventions.
Well, he specifically said it would not happen until after Far From Home comes out.
Oh, damn.
Now, if they change their mind, I don't know. But he said we will talk about the upcoming movies after Far From Home.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. They, you know, they always got some shit up their sleeve, so.
Nothing up my sleeve.
Yeah. They always got some shit up their sleeve, it's no way of really telling with them until it happens.
Exactly.
But, you know, there are rumored movies like The Eternals.
Inhumans. The Eternals.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do The Inhumans. I think what they're going to do is they're going to blend the concept into The Eternals.
Right.
Because The Inhumans was god-awful.
Yeah, that never went the way that...
Nah, yo,
they wanted
that,
it to.
That premiere episode, it was trash. So, you can't really do The Eternals without mentioning The Inhumans because that's all part of that same Celestials came to Earth.
Yeah.
They fucked with people, the primitive
gene manipulation.
Yeah, gene manipulation. So we're going to talk about, see, that's the other thing too, that they didn't put this in MCU. But the truth of the matter is Thanos' origins is Earth.
Yeah,
he's a deviant. He's part of the Eternal strain and the Deviant strain.
Yeah,
Deviant strains are the ones that came out looking crazy as a motherfucker. So at a certain point, the reason he came out looking the way he looked and the rest of his family didn't is because he still had the Deviant gene. That's why he came out looking like a monster. His mom's, his brother, his sister, is that his sister? No, I think that was Death pretending to be his girlfriend, or whatever. But his mom's, his pops, and his brother they don't look like that. The rest of them motherfucking Titans, they don't look like that,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, I think they didn't introduce that so far into Thanos' lore in the MCU of him being his origins actually being his people's origins being from Earth. They were just fucked with the Celestials and shit,
Facts.
And they left. And went to Titan and shit. But
word. But they still could.
Say, they still could introduce it. This is another reason why I really would love, and I don't understand why they wouldn't, because most of this shit is in public domain anyway. It's not that they got to ask anybody for it. Yo, there are other pantheons of gods in the Marvel Universe other than the Asgardians.
Right.
Hercules, my nigga.
Yeah.
Which would include, we would get Zeus mm-hmm. and the rest of the pantheon. Like,
That would be interesting.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
And we do know that the Greek gods exist because in Ragnarok,
mm-hmm.
when they panned to the citadel, where they was doing all the fights and shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you freeze frame, just freeze frame it and look at the heads of the people that won the various tournaments on there, you'll see Beta Ray Bill, you'll see Bi-Beast, and you'll see Ares, the Greek god of war. So for those of you that missed that, go back and watch Thor Ragnarok and freeze frame it on the screen where they're doing the establishment shot of the citadel that all the gladiators were fighting in. All of the people that won the previous champions are on there. Ares was a previous champion, which means the Greek gods exist.
Word.
So I need some Hercules going on. Seriously.
Yo.
I need some Hercules.
I also saw this this theory that they were mentioning how in the beginning of Endgame, when they were talking about when Rocket was talking about the blast of energy that emanated mm-hmm. from the gauntlet that no one has ever seen before.
Right.
And the only time it's ever happened again was 2 days ago on this planet, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Somebody said that they could possibly use that as a way to introduce mutants as well.
Oh, yeah, because they could say that that energy
awakened the gene.
Awoken the gene. But here's the thing about it. The gene has already been awoken there. Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Her brother.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Danvers.
Yeah.
That gene's already been kind of awoken. You know what I'm saying? Because ordinarily, you're not going to get... You know what that... With the Space Stone?
But that's the thing. They... In those three situations, it was a concentrated thing.
Right.
But with it being a worldwide blast...
Wow.
That might open it up for every everybody, but
I know what you're saying. It could be like a minor, like, because you know all mutants aren't mega uber powerful.
Exactly. You know? Like you have your Jean Greys, but you also have your cloaks.
Facts.
So I mean, it is what it is. I think I don't know. I'm a little upset by the declaration that the X-Men and all of those other type things, it's not going to be a while. Yeah, I'm a little upset by that. I am. I'm not going to lie to you. But I think it'll be worth it.
I think they're not trying to do is do the immediate gratification thing.
Yeah.
They realize that the reason Thanos was, one of the reasons Thanos was what he was, is because we had to wait.
Mm-hmm.
They would insert things about him, you know what I'm saying, periodically through different movies, but we didn't really get the anticipation. They built that up.
Right.
With the X-Men, I'm thinking there's a plan, and I'm thinking that people are going to be speculating for the next 4 years about the shit anyway, because they're going to be on some old everything that we see mm-hmm. that could possibly lead to mutants.
Oh, yes.
We're going to talk about, because I know I'm going to
fine tooth comb.
Yeah, I know.
All that shit.
Yeah.
All right, so these are things that, real quick, that I want from the X-Men, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
First of all, I already told you this. I want a movie titled Children of the Atom.
Right.
That has to happen. Absolutely has to happen. But I want Mr. Sinister.
Right.
Partially because I want Gambit done right.
Facts.
I want a. I want. This probably won't happen because they've now fucked it up twice. And yes, this is me being a mind reader. I mean, I'm a mind reader, a future teller. Mm-hmm. They already fucked Phoenix up twice. So, I really want a proper Phoenix story done.
Yeah. I think even before the 4 years we get the X-Men, it's going to be another 4 years before they try that shit again.
Yo, it might be another 7 years before they try
I
it
do,
again.
I do want to see the last X-Men movie simply because it's the end of the earth.
For yeah, all yeah. I'm going to go watch it.
Give to that franchise. The fact is, without that franchise, the market may not have been prepped for what we have now, because as bad, you look back at these movies, those movies, bad as they may have been.
Do you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning?
That was horrible. That was the worst. They should never. Yo, matter of fact.
The same thing that happens to everything else. So why the fuck are you saying it?
Yo, exactly. Yo, for real. What they need to do is remaster that movie without that line, yo. take that line out.
Because that might have been the worst thing about the movie.
That was, it was so bad, yo.
Yeah, yo.
But it was well-received at the time. And that's the thing.
It was.
The reason I believe it was is because if you've only had stale, saltine crackers.
The goalposts has shifted.
The goalposts has shifted, right. You know what I'm saying? Boy, it was well-received back then because I saw it twice back then.
I didn't.
It was X-Men. Like, I'm going to see the X-Men. We get X-Men. And I'm going to tell you, I'll never forget the first time I saw it, I didn't want to take Siobhan.
Right.
Because I wanted to enjoy you know what I'm saying?
I wasn't in the financial situation to see it twice then, because I was still a kid, depending on my mother's money. Right. And it wouldn't have made any sense. My mother wouldn't have given me money twice to go see the same movie.
Hell no.
So yeah.
I told her you was going to see Steel Magnolias.
You're stupid.
Driving Miss Daisy or some shit.
So yeah, I didn't go watch it twice, but I have seen the movie more than once, of course.
Word.
But you have a point with the whole market not being ready thing, because that ties into what the creators of the movie can do.
Facts.
Because facts. when you get a X3, it was trash.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
At least XT was better, because X3 was just
X3 bad, was like, was garbage.
Like, wow. Like,
and I thought X3 was bad then.
It only got worse, though, because think about it. They did the Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Absolutely horrible, y'all. Horrible. And it's like, ew. Now, I ain't going to lie.
Even though that was the best Gambit.
That was the best. I'm glad I'm not the only one to say that.
Yeah.
That is the best Gambit.
That was the best Gambit that we've seen.
Gambit, yo. But I wasn't mad at Days of Future Past.
No.
I was entertained by.
Yeah, Days of Future Past was cool. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But some of the other shit.
People that say Days of Future Past was the best X-Men movie, mainline.
Like, I think
not,
so too.
Not including Logan, not including Deadpool.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
You think so too.
So, I mean, that was cool. And First Class was good.
Yep. I enjoyed First Class.
First Class was good. But the rest of them. All right. X1 was good.
Yeah,
X-1 was good for what it was.
Time. Yeah, yeah, right.
X2 was cool.
Mm-hmm.
The third one was trash. But other than that's the real issue. They tried so hard to fix their issues without actually fixing everything.
Right.
And the timeline became convoluted.
Yo, blame Bryan Singer for that bullshit.
Nah, facts. All facts. You know what I'm saying? All facts. And also blame Superman Returns, because that's why Scott had to die off screen.
Yo, I hated the fact that he had to die off screen. Yo.
That shit was dumb.
I hated it, yo. Like, why, my nigga? Why?
That shit was retarded.
But also, the best Cyclops, too, was James...
James Marsden, yeah.
He's the best Cyclops.
I'm
like I expected him to look. Something too short. He was a little too short.
But that was made more evident by the fact that Hugh Jackman is like 6'2".
Oh, facts. Facts on facts.
And Wolverine is like 5'4".
Right. So, like, that's a fact.
That's a big difference. But, like, I don't know. I don't know. I just want... I have no reason to believe, and this is not to say that everything the MCU has done has been perfect, because they gave us Iron Man 3.
Facts.
But
I have no reason to believe that they won't handle the X-Men right.
Yo, I have no... First of all, it's Marvel Studios. One of the main reasons we wanted them to get that back is because you can see by the care they take in crafting the characters and casting the characters. You can see that because they're so heavily affiliated with the comic book, the people that are working in there, the writers and all that other shit, yo, you're not getting away with Marvel Studios getting some characters that don't feel like the X-Men. They're right. going to feel like the X-Men. Yeah. Like even with the changes, because look, they changed a lot of the Avengers shit.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And yet here we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they changed a lot of the Guardians shit. And yep. yet here we are.
They changed most of the Guardians.
Right.
Yeah. So
I have no doubt, and there's no doubt in my mind that they'll get the feel right. And when we finally get Apocalypse,
they'll get the feel right and they'll put out a respectable team on the court.
Facts. Facts. So like, I ain't even worried about that as much. They earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Me, yeah. You know? Is there anything else specifically that you're looking forward to?
Okay, so yeah, but this is the Thor fan in me. I really want to see more of his rogues gallery. Now, it may sound funny for people to say, Thor has a rogues gallery? Yeah, he actually does. And it's mostly mythical. Some stuff can be made up. Like, for instance, the Dark Gods. I would love to see that introduced at some point. I would love to see Mangog introduced at some point. I would love to see, I don't think we ever, we might get it. I would love to see Fear itself and the reason, or a version of that. The reason why is because now with Asgard being on Earth, it actually makes a lot more sense.
Right.
From the standpoint of there are relics that are now on Earth or now should be in play now that really shouldn't have been there because the Asgardians weren't there all this time.
Yeah.
So, like certain things, for instance, Asgardians have enemies.
And yes.
Not just, the ones we've seen so far. We're talking nine realms, my nigga. Nine realms where they have been politicking outside. So that's eight realms outside of Midgard.
Yeah.
You know, they got enemies. I can see them crafting a story that can make Fear itself a thing. The issue is Fear itself did a lot of playing with the lore. So in Fear itself, they changed the lore up where Odin was not the original Allfather after Bor. Odin had an older brother, Kull. Kull was the actual, he was the one that got the inheritance to be the Allfather. But because he was the god of fear, you can imagine how he was running the nine realms. He was on some bullshit.
Right.
And eventually Odin had to put up a resistance force to go against his own brother. And in order to stop him, because Cole's power was powered by fear, so he kept Midgard in constant fear, and that was powering him. He was like, in order for me to stop Cole, I have to slaughter every human on Earth. And that's what Odin did. Odin slaughtered every single human on Earth to weaken his brother enough to be able to defeat him, and then he still couldn't kill him. So he put him in a prison under the ocean, and he was under there for I don't know how long because Odin had to help repopulate the earth after that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how long Cole was under the ground. So it's a lot of things they would have to do, you know what I mean? And also they already shot their wad with some of that because with Hela being kept in prison the entire time, and it was his life that.
That's what I was about to say, because part of what you said was adapted for the Thor Ragnarok.
Exactly. So they would definitely have to change some shit, but I would love to see that. I'll tell you what I don't want to see. This is also Thor related too. I want to see Thrall.
I want to see Thrall. I want to see Beta Ray Bill.
I do. But I don't want to see the Thor core, yo. I don't know. I hated the Thor core, yo.
Okay.
It was too much.
Okay.
It was too much. It's too many Thors on this team.
All right, damn it. Shit. All right. I want to see Throg. I want to see Beta Ray Bill. Definitely. I want to see I want to see a female Thor, no matter who they use to do it.
But I don't want it to be Jane Foster.
I don't. I'm not particularly mad if they end up using her.
Use Valkyrie.
I don't want them to use Valkyrie because I want Valkyrie to be Valkyrie.
No, listen. We don't need the version of Jane Foster in MCU is boring.
That's true.
No. Like, at least Valkyrie makes sense in the context.
What I'll say about that is, I didn't know how much I wanted to see Rescue until I saw Rescue.
Saw Rescue. All right, that's true. That's true. Now,
I'm agreeing with you as far as Jane Foster, but boring. I didn't know how much I wanted to see Rescue until I saw Rescue.
Oh, peep the game. If they decide not to use Valkyrie, bring Sif back and she becomes Thor. Okay. I'm just saying, no, that, some options here,
that I can rock with. That's different. That I can rock with 100%.
Because I'm mad Sif wasn't involved in none of this. So I'm like,
yeah,
what?
It was no a bit Sif. Odd.
They didn't tell us what happened to her. You know what I'm saying?
The whole Warriors 3 thing, they made it a big deal, and then they made it not a big deal.
They fucked it up because these will be his best friends. They got slaughtered by Hela, and there was not one mention.
Not one.
From Thor about where his buddies was at. It's kind of...
Yeah,
I wasn't feeling that. But
it is what it is. Like I said, like we said, ladies and gentlemen, these movies aren't perfect.
Nope.
They definitely make mistakes. I don't know. As far as specific things that I want to see...
Maybe not storylines, but what specific characters... Because you know me, Galactus all day.
This is what I need. What I need should not be possible. And the reason I say that is because they've managed to do what they did with this movie and everything leading up to it without a hitch. Like I said, of course, we're not talking about perfection, ladies and gentlemen, but everything pretty much went the way that it should have gone.
Right.
What I need to see is several things. I need to see Doom.
Yeah, hell yeah. Dr. Doom has got to be there.
But what I don't want, and this is for this is a task for people far above my pay grade. What I don't want is there to reach a point where something seems like you can't go back. Like, I don't want, like, for instance, all right, so let's say Doom is the next big bad, right?
Right, right.
And you get through all these movies and you find a way and we get God Doom and all that other good stuff, right?
Right.
If God Doom is somehow above in the MCU what we got with Thanos, power-wise, then let's say they want to do Secret Wars.
Right.
So then you have the Beyonders. Well, the Beyonder.
Yeah, then start with the one.
How do you come back to, like, it feels like, I don't know, I feel like they should be separated enough. Like, because I know it'll take time to get these things established, which is the good thing. That's the great thing about it.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't want it to be a situation where shit gets bigger and bigger and bigger and then everybody's able to handle. Like, for instance, it would be great if Captain Marvel is not on Earth from this point. Like,
yeah, she needs to be cosmic.
She needs to only come back when another threat comes that is on that type of level.
Right.
Like, I don't ever want to see her on Earth again. And I know that they were making some... they made a reference or two to her and Rhodey having a relationship in the comics.
In the comic books, they did.
They made a reference or two to that, but take him with you. Like, I don't want her here. Like, that's
They haven't established enough villains that lasted on Earth to justify something.
That's what I'm saying, yo. Yeah, like, I still want Captain Marvel's stories. Right. I just don't want her on Earth because it doesn't make sense. You've now reached the point.
You sound like me, what I was saying about Superman years ago. Superman doesn't need to be on Earth anymore.
Facts.
Come on, the nigga bench pressed Earth for 5 days. I just need him not to be stopped at bank robberies and shit. The fuck out of here.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, and that's what I mean. So I think that is the thing that I want the most. The thing I want the most is for them to continue finding a way to balance these things.
Right.
Because when you introduce God Doom, when you introduce Galactus, which means a herald is introduced, likely Silver Surfer, when you introduce these things, there's still the possibility of Adam Warlock. Like, when you introduce these things, these super powerful beings that just didn't exist before,
right,
you have to find a way to do it. And specifically for the people that I mentioned that fit into that category that are villains, you have to find a way to do it without killing them.
Yeah.
And every villain should not die.
Carol could come back for Galactus because
yes,
his heralds are on her level.
Facts.
So, you know, Silver Surfer is a monster.
Facts. All facts.
If he didn't have the soul of a poet, nigga.
Yeah, everybody would be dead.
Yeah, so I think I definitely think she could come back for stuff like that, but I don't need to see her busting drug dealers and
no.
Nah, yo.
Like, I don't want to see her go up against anybody in a mechanized suit. I don't want to see
if you not Kang the Conqueror.
Right.
If you not Apocalypse.
Right.
I don't need to see Carol come down. If you underneath Apocalypse, Carol shouldn't even bother. Don't waste her time, yo.
If you aren't, honestly, if you aren't like a step or two above Thanos.
Yeah, yo, don't
I don't want to see
yo.
Carol. Like, let her have her adventures on her own.
Yeah,
let her do some shit where she run into the Guardians again. There let her do go. Some shit where she run into Thor by himself again.
It's time for like when the legacy characters. This is how you utilize the legacy characters and Marvel team ups and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, have them, and they don't need some of them. After, like, she needs her own movie.
Yes,
two more of her own movies, definitely.
Yes,
but then after that, like, yo, they should be like in team up shits, Marvel team up. They still want to sign on for it, still be there for it.
Yeah,
be on other people's shit. Like, I felt that was the wave with Thor Ragnarok.
Yes,
to have Hulk and him there in the Civil War and shit like that. Like, that's the wave to me.
Absolutely.
When a soldier started that wave, by the way, let's not forget.
Yes, that's what I want to see, because there are so many characters. There are so many characters that I want to see because I like their characters. Yeah. But then there are other characters that I want to see that I like their characters, but a lot of the reason I want to see them is because of how powerful they are.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
and I also feel confident that Marvel will represent them right now, get that feeling.
Yeah.
I need to be able to get that feel. Like, yo, yes, the story's different. Yes, the origins may be different, but this is that character.
Yes.
You know?
Like I said, Doom, Galactus, Apocalypse, Kang, all these, like, and I honestly don't want to see a good Doom. Not for a while. Like,
nah.
Not for a long while. Like, super long while. Right. And then, like I said, with the thing with Secret Wars, like, I would love to see a Secret Wars, but it would have to, like, I couldn't imagine them doing Secret Wars for, like, 20 years, because there aren't that many villains left.
See, and this is that's, once again, maybe they spend some time in this phase to have a subtext of the rise of the villains.
Yeah.
Y'all need more. Yo, listen, stop killing these motherfuckers off. We gotta have these big standoffs between them. Motherfuckers need to come back to do. Now, I get to a degree, I think they overcorrected. Because one thing I hated about, and this is like the DC, the early DC shit with Superman.
Yeah.
I got tired of seeing Lex Luthor, yo.
That's fair.
Listen, my nigga. He got some people that can actually stand up to him physically, and we can see some real shit. But you got to stop putting
Solomon Grundy.
Yo, Solomon Grundy. How come we've never seen a live action Solomon Grundy?
Right.
Or at least in the movies, because we've seen it on on TV.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, stop it, my nigga. Stop it.
Like, come on. Bizarro.
Yo, right. Bizarro can face him, yo. Like, what you talk? What you doing? Lobo.
Lobo.
Like, come on, man. Like, he keep giving us these motherfuckers to try to outthink him. I don't know what the fuck about that.
So, wait, you're telling me that this genius is smarter than somebody that isn't known for being smart?
Well, Superman is actually smart.
No, he is smart. I'm saying that.
It's a. It's an add-on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not his thing. Yeah. Like, so you're having a bunch of brainiacs. Oh, Brainiac.
Brainiac, who can physically match him and outsmart him, yo. Can physically match him and outsmart him, yo. Yes.
But yeah, you keep having Lex and his super genius outsmart Lex,
you
Super.
The only reason why Superman is troubled by Lex is because he won't go full on just, I'm actually an alien god. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
The only reason is because Superman won't go full on alien god, yo.
Right.
Like, he's where's Lex? You know what? I would come down there and get my hands dirty, but I'm not. I'm going to fry him from orbit with these heat eyes.
Yeah, there's absolutely no reason for him to ever engage Lex Luthor.
Come on, yo. Like, oh, I understand that people don't want me to kill him, but look, he's walking down the street or he's leaving out of his building. I move fast enough where y'all can't even see me.
Yeah.
I come by, snatch his punk ass up, and lock him up in a cave somewhere in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Yo. End of story, all right?
Yeah, there's so many ways. And that's the issue with power. Like, once you have so much power and no balance, it gets predictable.
Yes, it does.
And in order to not be predictable, you have to not make sense.
Right, right.
So, like, that's what I fear. I mean, I don't fear it as in think it's going to happen. But that's what I want them to avoid at all costs with the MCU.
Right.
I don't want it to be that. Like, I don't want it to get there. And like I said, I really would love to see a Secret War. Because now, after watching that battle in Endgame, yes, I know they can do it.
Yeah, they definitely can.
I know they can do it. That's not an issue. But it's just that, like I said, they don't got no villains right now. They have no villains. The only villains that is still alive is Loki, and that's a different timeline.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a way to get to it, and hopefully that would involve somebody like Kang. But...
facts.
As Kang of right now...
unless they want to stay away from the time shit for a minute after you did this in Endgame.
Yeah.
But Kang would actually be really a suitable villain. A reoccurring villain at that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because even if you kill one.
It's another one that's going to come through. You know what I mean? Why are we going to pull up?
Facts. But I don't know, yo. I just think I'm really excited. And like, I don't know if I've ever had this feeling where I'm super anxious but still satisfied.
Right.
Like, and that's how I feel about the MCU right now. Like, I really, really want to see what's coming next. But I'm fine. I'm cool right now. Like, this is amazing that this is the movie that we got as a payoff for these past 11 years.
Yep. So I'm settled in with that. And I'm strapped in for the next whatever.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm willing to get in the benefit of the doubt. See, I don't know exactly what direction they're going to go in, but or what their plans are. But I do know I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because I felt like that Endgame was a great ending to all of that epic that we got for the past 11 years. So,
facts.
I'm good.
All facts.
Yeah, we want to thank everybody sat through us running through this Endgame thing. It's a big event.
Yes, it is.
You know, so we definitely had to cover it. Is there anything you're trying to promote?
Yeah. Instagram. That one place. Photos by SBJ. Go check it out or don't.
Check it out.
And anywhere that you guys might happen to be listening to this podcast, then you can go ahead and do the things that let the
platforms know that you like us. Review, rate, comment, all that other good stuff. But comment sections aren't for everybody. We know that. I actually was compelled to comment in the comment section of a YouTube video for like maybe the 10th time in my life the other day. And that's only because somebody said something extreme. The video was extremely ridiculous and I just had to make my comment. Anyway, but generally I tend to avoid them because they're trash. It's a cesspool. So I'm pretty sure you guys want to avoid them. So you can avoid them and talk to us directly by emailing us at blackculturegeeks@gmail.com. That is blackculturegeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Also, on top of all that, getting this feedback from you and all this other good stuff, it would be a little nice if you guys would just go ahead and share. Like, spread the word. Let everybody know that we're doing some things over here, and the things that we do are things that you like, so your things you want to share with your friends and your family and all that other good stuff, and help us spread our invisible message.
And, of course, I will be promoting once again the No Skullduggery EP.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this any place digital music is sold. Also, go check out our Black Culture Geeks YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
You can also go check out my personal YouTube channel, the Reaper Legion Network.
Mm-hmm.
And go check out my photography Instagram page, ReaperVision999. It's a whole gang of pictures on there because that's kind of what we do. We take pictures.
Indeed.
So for my man SBJ.
You.
I am Tombstone the Dead Man. And for the greater multi-world entertainment family, we are out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening.